Hello.
Hey everyone, my name's Matt. I am an EPI with the New York State Department of Health. If you are here for substance abuse and suicide EPI, you are in the right place. We're going to start today with Naomi Green from the New Mexico Department of Health.
So good afternoon, everyone. I have to start actually by apologizing because I am supposed to be in two places at once because I'm a superhero. And so I'm going to have to leave this session right after this. So I won't be able to take any questions, but you can hit me up on Twitter. I think my profile has my email on it. So if there's anything you have questions about, please feel free to reach out. So today I'm going to talk about a project that I did in New Mexico looking at suicidal ideation among New Mexico middle school students. So what do we know about suicide and suicidal ideation among children and adolescents? Well, for one thing, suicide is the third leading cause of death in this population. So that 10 to 14-year-old population, those are middle school students, most of them. And when we ask high school students about, say, their alcohol use, we know that those who report starting to drink alcohol before the age of 13, they're more likely to currently report suicidal ideation. And we actually see the same thing when we ask adolescents about their drug use. We know that those who report drug use are more likely to report suicidal ideation. But we don't know a lot about middle school students. We don't know what these patterns look like or what these associations look like. So in the psychological literature, there's a lot of talk about resiliency, so what makes someone resilient, and there's lots of definitions out there. This is just one that I happen to like. You know, resiliency is this idea that you can still continue to function even when you're going through a great deal of stress. And there's lots of factors that can help a person be resilient against a lot of risk behaviors. And those include things like the kind of relationships that you have with adults in your life, whether or not those are parents or guardians or teachers, whether or not you have a supportive school environment, and whether or not you get some form of social support. Again, this can come from adults. This has come from friends or other folks in your community. So the purpose of this study was kind of threefold. So we just wanted to explore this association between suicidal ideation, resiliency factors, and substance use, particularly within a middle school population. And secondly, we wanted to assess the interaction between substance abuse and resiliency. So the question is, if you are using alcohol, if you're using marijuana, are the factors that we think of as being protective, these resiliency factors, are they still protective in those situations? And then hopefully this kind of information can be used by our partners in New Mexico to think about areas for prevention and intervention. So the data for this analysis came from the New Mexico Middle School Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey. So this is our version of the YRBS. We have a middle school version in New Mexico. This is a representative sample of over 16,000 students across New Mexico in grades 6 through 8. They come from public middle schools. And, of course, much like the YRBS, it's a stratified two-stage cluster sampling method. There's a variety of variables that we included in this analysis. So the way that we are defining suicidal ideation is we have two questions on the survey. It asks, have you ever seriously considered killing yourself? We don't use the term suicide or the word suicide with middle school students. Or have you ever made a plan to kill yourself? So students who have answered yes to one or both of these questions would be considered to be reporting suicidal ideation. There's a number of demographic variables. What we're calling risk factors here are kind of the substance use factors, things like have you ever used alcohol, marijuana, inhalants. I want to make a note that other drug use is this catch-all. So we also ask students whether or not they've used synthetic marijuana, whether or not they've used cocaine, whether or not they've used prescription pain pills to get high, whether or not they've used prescriptions that were not prescribed to them, or any kind of injection drug use behavior. And these are kind of rolled up into this category of other drug use. And then something that's a little bit unique in New Mexico is we ask about these resiliency factors. So on our middle school survey, we have these six resiliency factors. We ask whether or not students have a caring friend in their life, do they have a caring adult in their life, do they have a parent who's interested in their schoolwork, do they have clear rules at school, and the other ones that you can see listed there. These are very briefly, these are the statistical methods that we use for this analysis. So first, I just wanted to know whether or not, you know, these different factors are actually looking at different aspects of resiliency. So we tested for collinearity, did some descriptive statistics and looked at bivariate models, what is associated with suicidal ideation in this population, and then some model building, which I think of as, or as my mentor says, is an art and a science altogether. And we use logistic regression for that. We assessed boys and girls separately because they often develop differently, and we added the confounders based on the literature. Okay, so I'll move on to our descriptive results. So in 2013, almost 23% of New Mexico middle school students reported either making a plan to kill themselves or having seriously thought about killing themselves. And when we look at suicidal ideation by demographics, what we find is that among eighth grade students, they are statistically significantly more likely to report suicidal ideation compared to sixth and seventh graders. Although, even in sixth and seventh graders, that prevalence is still fairly high. And when we look by gender, we see that female students are statistically significantly more likely than male students to report suicidal ideation in 2013. And this is really, really high, 30%. So in terms of the prevalence of substance abuse, this is what this graph is showing. About 25% of middle school students say that they've ever used alcohol. Now, this doesn't include, for example, taking a few sips of wine for communion or religious purposes. About 16% have ever used marijuana in their life. And I think very striking, 12.8% say that they've used some form of other drugs. And I just want to remind you, this includes things like synthetic marijuana. It includes things like cocaine. It includes using a prescription pain pill to get high and even injection drug use behavior. And when we look at the prevalence of ideation by substance use in this population, what we see is that individuals who are using substances are almost 2 to 3 times more likely to report ideation compared to those that don't. This graph shows the prevalence of resiliency factors in this population. So, you know, overall, most students are saying that these things that we think of, as protective, that the prevalence is quite high. I think that when it comes to being involved in community activities, I think the prevalence is a little bit lower because what we're asking is whether or not you're involved in activities outside of school. And this graph is showing the prevalence of suicidal ideation by resiliency factor. So in many cases, students who are reporting that a resiliency factor is true for them, I think here I've said that the factor is present for them, they actually are less likely, so the prevalence of ideation is actually lower in that group than it is among people who do not report that factor as present. Okay, so I'd like to move on and just show you the results of our logistic regression. So looking at the association between suicidal ideation, substance use, and resiliency factors, and tell you about a couple of the interactions that we found. So I'm going to break this down a little bit. We'll start with girls. This is the model explaining ideation among middle school girls. So this model includes alcohol use, tobacco use. This was adjusted for grade level. It includes marijuana use, inhalant use, this factor about parent knows where I am. And I think what's important to note here is that in general, we would think of having a caring friend as a protective factor, but we found a statistically significant interaction between having a caring friend and other drug use. So among girls who are not reporting other drug use, the factor is still protective. But among girls who are reporting other drug use, the factor is no longer protective. And this is the regression model for boys. And again, I'm just going to draw your attention to this factor of having a caring friend. This, again, is adjusted for many of the same things, including alcohol use, inhalant use, marijuana use, other drug use. But here we did not find a statistically significant interaction between any of the resiliency factors and the substance use factor. So having a caring friend is protective for suicidal ideation among boys. So just to conclude kind of what we found, suicidal ideation is pretty prevalent among New Mexico middle school students, especially among girls. There's a much higher prevalence of suicidal ideation among those students who are using substances compared to those who are not. And there are these differences between boys and girls. So again, among girls, this idea of having a caring friend, this is protective, but only if that girl is not also reporting other drug use. And among boys, having a caring friend seems to be protective, you know, even after we adjust for all of these substance use factors. So first I'd like to talk about some limitations and then maybe go into some implications for what does this mean for this population and what does this mean for thinking about suicide prevention and mental health among this population. So of course, in terms of limitations, this is cross-sectional data, so we don't know which direction. You know, we can't talk about causal inference. This is limited to public schools, although I think private schools and parochial schools could participate if they wanted to, but mostly this is public school students. I think really important to mention is that students who are absent on the day that this survey is given, so this is a paper pencil survey that's given in class, they're not going to be included. And the literature definitely shows that truant students are at higher risk for a lot of different kinds of behaviors, risky behaviors. And unfortunately, unlike the high school YRBS, there is no national survey of middle school students. So we really can't compare New Mexico to the nation. One thing I will say that I brought in, there are several other states who do a middle school survey. And so our prevalence of ideation was around 22%. Our nearest neighbor, Colorado, was 15%. But I do think that there are some strengths to this study. This is a large population-based sample of middle school students in a fairly diverse population. I don't know if you've ever been to New Mexico, but about 67% of the students in middle school that were included in this survey do identify as Hispanic. Now, that means lots of different things in New Mexico. We do ask about these different protective factors. There aren't very many states that do that. And we also ask about a variety of substance use factors. So what does this mean for prevention? So first, I really want to drive home the point that some of the prevalences that we're seeing in ideation for middle school students really isn't that different than what we see in high school students. And so I think it's really important that we think about, I don't want to say target so much, but really think about middle school students when we're thinking about mental health programs, when we're thinking about suicide prevention programs. There's a lot of funding out there that goes to, so for example, college students and building programs that help develop resiliency and deal with suicide prevention in those groups. But there are middle school students that we need to be targeting as well. And when we think about middle school students, I mean, we saw that the prevalence of substance use in this group is fairly high for a lot of these different substances, much higher than I think we would definitely want it to be. So we need to really address the role that substance abuse plays in mental health, particularly in this population. And I think oftentimes in public health, we kind of focus a little bit on kind of the risk model, sort of who's at risk. But I think it's also important to look at it from the other perspective, which is what is protective for things. So come at it from a slightly different perspective and kind of think about what makes some folks resilient in certain instances versus other folks. I think a focus on social support and connectedness when we're thinking about developing programs that we might want to target at middle school students, coming at it from that perspective. So like I always like to end my presentations, none of us does public health work alone. This is always a collaborative effort. So these are my co-authors on this particular project, Laura Tomati, Jessica Reno, and Dan Green. And we definitely couldn't do this work in New Mexico without getting support from our public education department and our University of New Mexico Prevention Research Center. And of course, I am an applied epidemiology fellow, so I definitely need to give a shout out to that program and to SAMHSA for supporting me through this fellowship. That went by fairly quickly. So, thank you. Okay. All right, we will take two questions. That way I do not get into anybody else's time. Okay, no questions. Yeah.
You're talking about suicidal ideation in 10 to 14-year-olds. Do they understand suicide at that age? It's pretty young. Do they fully understand the consequences of their action? I know that point during cognitive change to begin, but is this how that impacts?
I'll start by saying that the way that we formulate the question is not to ask about suicide. So we asked them whether or not they've ever thought about killing themselves. And, I mean, that's, I would argue that I'm going to take the word of a 13-year-old if they've said that they've ever thought about that. I'm going to take their word for it. I think I understand what you're saying, but I would still err on the side of they're aware of what that means. Unfortunately, we are really limited in the number of questions we can put in our middle school survey. I mean, it's already kind of bursting as it is. You know, kids are not going to sit down too long to fill it out. So, unfortunately, I don't have that data. Okay. That was two questions.